know what? Stop the push-pull relationship with if your heart receives it. So back to Nicodemus. So Jesus isn't interested in chit-chat. He rarely is. He just goes straight for the jugular, right? He goes straight to the point. He cuts through everything, and he says, truly, truly, he says to Nicodemus, I say to you, unless a person is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. Wait, what? What? Can't you just see Nicodemus go, what? Wait, what are you talking about? I'm like a religious elite. People come to me. I answer questions. I've been doing this all my life. This is craziness. I'm a good person. I'm a religious person. I'm in church every day. I follow all the rules. What's all this starting over? I got to be born again? What's all this stuff about? You're making my head hurt. I can just imagine saying, you're making my head hurt. You know, Jesus and Nicodemus were on different planets at this point. Clearly, Nicodemus was not born again because his head hurt. Maybe your head's hurting right now with the notion of thinking about talking about being born again. What I'm encouraging you to do is don't tune out. Tune in. Increase your antennae. Because if you've never experienced the rebirth, then it's time to do that. So maybe that's something to think about. And maybe if you're a new follower, you maybe not even a follower of Jesus, you may say, oh, gee, I want some of that. So tune in. Don't tune out. Because it's available to everyone. Eternal life and being born again in order to be able to see the kingdom. So let's stand together with Nicodemus right now. Let's hold his hand and imagine yourself standing there, probably seated actually, before Jesus. And let's come under the cover of Jesus' teaching, because today's a growing time. Jesus intends this to be a growing time when, you know, I mean, when we're born in the flesh, think about it. When we're born in the flesh, we don't stay babies, right? I don't see anybody sitting here kind of in the baby format. Oh, we could see some more, but they'll grow up. The babies will grow into something else. They don't stay babies. And we'd be concerned if people stayed an infant, wouldn't we? If they didn't grow, that would be a worry. In the same way, a person who has been regenerated by the power of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit, we need to grow spiritually as well. And that's what today is about. Jesus made it clear today is a growing day for us. Growth naturally follows birth. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, we hear in Peter. So let's keep growing with our brother Nicodemus right now. And he draws us to the passage that we heard about in Numbers. The people had sinned against God by grumbling against God and Moses. God had taken care of them for years, providing for them in every way in the desert, and they were just impatient, they were tired, they were grumbling. So God, in response, withdrew his protection. And as a result, the serpents that were in the sand attacked the Israelites, biting them with great fire, and many died. Many, many, many died. They repented of their sin. They went to Moses and said, Moses, do something. Go ask God to a remedy. Get a remedy for us. We know we've done wrong. So God says to Moses, make a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and stand it up where everybody can see it. Bit of an odd tactic, you might think. And he said, everyone who looks upon that serpent will be healed. All they had to do was look at it. That's all they had to do. So God, in fact, took the thing, the serpent, the very source of their demise, and actually made it a source of their healing. This is the upside-down economy, right, of the kingdom. Likewise, Christ himself, if we think about it, this is why Christ used that as an analogy for himself, because Christ, like himself, was of no sin, yet made to be sin. He took on our sin, all of it, even though he didn't have any. And he was raised up on the cross. Now, the Israelites understood that when they looked at that serpent, it wasn't the serpent that was healing them. It was their faith in Yahweh. It was their faith in following the direction that Yahweh had given them to do that. They knew that. Likewise, Jesus, being God, who alone can save people from sin and death, was raised up on the cross as God's chosen way to provide spiritual healing for everyone who's been afflicted by sin. Just look to those, just as those who looked in faith to the serpent in the wilderness were healed, so those of us who look in faith to Jesus, to the man on the cross, will be reborn and have eternal life. In the wilderness, the Israelites had to believe in God's promise that whoever looked upon the serpent would be healed. In the same way, we need to believe. And here's the word you need to pay attention to. We need to believe, not just give intellectual consent, not just see Jesus on the cross, but we have to see what's behind the cross. We have to believe what he's doing on the cross. It has to be more than just seeing it. Whoever looks to Jesus and his death, when we see that as a just payment, sins will be forgiven and granted eternal life. Okay, so I can just imagine. I can hear the chatter going on in some heads out there going, yeah, this is okay, Virginia, this is all well and good, but I don't have to be reborn. I mean, after all, Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. So I've done all that, right? We've done that. And you know, if that's the chatter that's going on in your head, that's the enemy at work. Because with all due respect, the fact that we're even asking that question, what do you think it tells us? The fact that Nicodemus didn't understand what it meant to be reborn, what does that mean? It means that if we're asking the question, why do we need to be reborn, we probably haven't been. We haven't been regenerated in the Spirit. Because if you look at Romans 10:9, not only does it say that you got to confess with your mouth, it also says, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. The heart's the tricky part. The intellectual stuff's easy, right? You can just look at it and say, yeah, I get it, I understand it, I can rationalize it, and you can keep Jesus at a distance, right? You can keep him where he's safe. But it's in our heart that we harbor the stuff that we got to get rid of in order to see the kingdom, because God cannot tolerate sin. He can't be in the presence of sin. But in our hearts is where we harbor things like human stubbornness and pride and belief in our own strength. Why do I need to be reborn? I can do it. I've said what I needed to say. It's all good. I'll do it in my own strength, right? It's where we harbor our sense of ability to do everything ourselves. And that's what keeps us from a true connection with God. It's all this stuff. It's human nature to want to be in control, right? Who doesn't want to be in control? When it comes to God, though, we know we're reborn again when we realize that in order to be fully pleasing to God, we got to the place where we know we can't do it on our own. We're not in control. We're born again when we know in our heart that our desire is not anything of this earth, but rather a desire to serve God alone and to let him at all costs to have control of our lives. That's what being reborn or born again means. It's when we have a desire for eternity and a longing for eternity more than we desire anything on earth. So dying, there's nothing to fear because we long to be with God in eternity. A desire like Jesus is in us and is how we live. Your will be done, not mine. Those are the kind of indicators of being regenerated in the Spirit. It's when we're willing to let go of our own strength, our own pride, our own stubbornness, and our own human ability, and we're willing to follow the Spirit's leading so that God's will be done. Then we find, at that point, when we get to that point of our journey, then we find that in the power of the Spirit, we begin to realize everything is possible. We enter that place of knowing everything is possible. We can move mountains in our lives. We have looked at things that we thought were impossible in the past, like victory over sin or maybe health, wellness, wholeness, restored relationships. We look at things in the past that seemed impossible, and yet in the Spirit, we know they're all possible. We expect things to be possible. That's because we're becoming a transformed person. We're becoming that new creation that began when we confessed Jesus as Lord with our mouths. Our hearts are being transformed. Our spiritual eyes are being opened to see beyond the things of the earth, to see what has true value, and what has true value is the kingdom of God. With God's kingdom comes everything that is truly good, both in this world and in all of eternity. So seeking the kingdom is the most important thing we could ever do. So that's why Jesus was so determined to talk to Nicodemus and to us, to grow us into that awareness, that that is so important for us to do. It is the most rewarding thing we can do. And when we're born again, that's when we really see what it's all about. Scripture, you know, that in the past didn't make sense to us, just like Nicodemus. He didn't know what he didn't know. With the Spirit, we are able to see things with new spiritual eyes, and new understanding comes our way. Now, I don't know about you, but with all this wonderful possibility in store, I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to be born again. I don't know why anyone would say, I don't need to do it. Why wouldn't we? If this is the possibility ahead of us, that we can actually have that living hope inside us that resurrected Jesus Christ himself. I know there's people here today who feels like God's talking to them directly, because Jesus has said this is a growing day for each one of us, so he's speaking to us. And maybe you're in that push-pull relationship with Jesus, trying to keep him at a distance, or maybe your heart's been convicted by something else that's been said, and you're asking yourself some pointed questions about your own relationship with Jesus. Maybe there's some Nicodemuses here in the sanctuary today, and you just didn't know that you didn't know. And now you know. You know what it means to be reborn. And you're able to move beyond seeing just the literal things. That's your head. It's your sight. You're able and wanting to move beyond seeing the literal things to being able to see all the spiritual side. You know there's more to being in relationship with Jesus. You want to be that new creature, reborn in a new way. So the point about being reborn is that there's no timeline for the point at which a person is born again. For each person, this happens in accordance with your own journey with God. It's based on God's work in your life. God draws you and tugs you and tugs at your heartstrings until you're ready to surrender yourself completely to him. That happens at different times. We may speak our conviction to Jesus, but we haven't surrendered our hearts. And so it's a journey to salvation. So we're all at different places of that surrender. So if this is your time, if God's brought you to this place and this appointed time and you're ready, then I invite you to have a prayer with me. And even if it would also be a prayer of renewal for any one of us. But move into this time of prayer with intention and with expectation. Let's pray together. Either you can pray in the silence of your mind as you repeat after me, or you can pray out loud. Let's just pray to God. Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
You are truly the source,
of my salvation.
All good things come from you, especially the regeneration of my sinful heart. May your Holy Spirit pour out upon me that I may see, hear, and respond to you. Build my faith. Build my belief. O God, you are my righteousness. Lead me to repentance. Here is my heart, which is all I can give in return. In Christ's name. Amen. Let's continue in this attitude of prayer as we sing together hymn number 400, Spirit of the Living God. Please remain seated.
Fall afresh on me.
Now, friends, in response to the gracious love of our Lord, we have the opportunity to return to Him what we've already been given so freely. There are many in need. There is no distinction regarding who should receive help, for all are worthy in God's sight. This morning's offering will now be received. Gracious God, Lord, receive these gifts that they may be used, turned out to show your love in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You want to take it up there? Okay. Let's just take a moment here, just offer up to God a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Hear us, God, now as we pray. We pray for those who are dear to us. We pray for the people we lean on. We pray for all who make our lives rich and full, and for all who are known to us who are wounded in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for all who are living in darkness and need your light. We pray for peace and safety in the world, and for all who do not receive.